Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Hallelujah. So appreciate you guys being here with us today. As you work your way back to your seat, I want to talk to you about something that I've had in my heart the last couple of weeks, believe it or not. Maybe it just has to do with the time of the year that we're in. But I do believe it is God inspired nonetheless. And I'm going to take the next couple of moments of your time today to challenge you to make some decisions that are going to affect your life, not only for the years to come, but hopefully that will carry over into eternity. How many of you know at least one or two people that have made New Year's resolutions? Let me see your hands. Yes. It just seems like the beginning of the year lends itself for resolutions, which is why today I want us to go beyond the traditional resolutions that people make that oftentimes are now no bearing on you or what you've made or who you know, but they go beyond the superficial. To go beyond the common. Do you realize that the most active time of the year for the gym is January? Particularly the first 3 weeks of January are the weeks where people most attend their local gym. And then from that third week on, little by little, the attendance wanes. And that's because, you know, experts tell us that most resolutions only last about 3 weeks. I don't say that to discourage you. There is a good point, okay? I promise I'm going to get to the good part, okay? There is a good point in all this. But I want you to know that what I want to challenge you to do today is not simply a resolution. I want to challenge you today to make a commitment to your spiritual growth. See, think about this for a moment. Most of the resolutions that people make during this time of the year have something to do with their own self-improvement. Something in the end so they can feel better about themselves. Whether it be, I want to read a book, one book once a month, so I can improve my intelligence, so I can improve socially, so I can improve my interaction emotionally, or whatever the case, or I want to improve physically, so I go to the gym, or I go on this strict diet, or whatever the case might be. Most people make resolutions for their own benefit. And when I say that, I have to be careful, because when I say this, really, most resolutions have a selfish component to them, don't they? Because we do things to feel good about ourselves, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with you doing things to feel good about yourself, right? And I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that this year, instead of doing something to feel good about yourself, why don't you turn the focus instead of from you toward God? Why don't you look to God to see what He can do for you this coming year? Now, you know, now I'm not saying this to discourage you, but you know, if the average resolution only lasts 3 weeks, imagine what God can do if all of a sudden you incorporated Him in some of the life choices and life decisions that you wanted to make this year. I think that you would experience some absolutely powerful life changes, some powerful benefits, because now it's not just about you. Now it's about you growing spiritually. And so many of us pay so little attention to our spiritual growth. We focus so much on the physical. We focus so much on the emotional and social and relational aspects that we forget arguably what's the most important part of our lives, which is our spirit. I was watching something the other day and I was amazed. I saw this 80-year-old guy climb a coconut tree like a monkey. I mean, it was amazing. And he'd go up one tree and that tree would begin to sway, and he'd jump from one tree to another. The dude is 80 years old. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I was fascinated by this man's ability. But at the end of the day, imagine what if all of a sudden all of us got into that type of health, but yet our spirit is shriveling up. What value does that have for us? If your spirit is waning and dying, okay, yeah, you may be flourishing, okay, professionally. Yeah, you may be flourishing relationally or socially. But what if your spirit is all of a sudden dying? So this year, why don't you make a decision that you are going to address the spiritual component of your life. And I want to help you do that by encouraging you to make three simple decisions. Okay. And the first one, you have it there. If you're following along in the outline, you have it there in your outline. The first one is decide to discover and to live out God's plan for your life. Everybody needs to know that their life matters for something. You're not purely an accident, even though mom and dad might have told you you were an accident. God can turn that into something that's incredibly powerful in your life. And you need to understand, I need to understand that if God created me, and he did, therefore, he must have a plan for my life. When you don't understand that God has a plan for your life, all of a sudden you will start fishing for things out of the sky, out of the clear blue, and you'll start trying to make those the things that you live for. But that would be very unfortunate, because those things will never get you what you wish they will get you. Right? So, the first point, the first decision, decide to discover and to live out God's plan in your life. Because if you're not living that plan, let me tell you, you might be at the top tier of your profession, but it's all in vain. It's all in vain if you haven't discovered and you haven't lived within God's plan. Why? Because all you're doing is trying to eke out a meager existence, not understanding that God has more for you. God has more for me. He didn't place me here just so I could absorb the resources of this world that I live in. He put me here with a specific purpose. That's where I draw my significance from. That's where I draw my, that's where I understand that life has meaning, from the fact that God put me here for a reason. Now what happens when I don't understand that? When I don't understand it, and when I don't understand God's plan, and most people don't. When you don't understand that you've got a plan, that God has a plan for you, then what happens? You begin to create one for yourself. And you think that your life is about you. You think that the reason that you're here is just so you could be happy. You think that the reason you exist is so you can reach your goal, so you can reach your ambition, so you can gain the certain aspirations, so you can be at the top of your game. Listen, you will be sorely mistaken if you're pursuing all those things and mistakenly thinking that those are the reasons why God put you here. Those are not. Now I think that most people, when they don't understand God's plan, they begin to develop their own self-improvement plan, right? So they grab onto anything that gives them perhaps a little bit of fulfillment, a little bit of joy, and because it gives them a little fulfillment, and because it gives them a little bit of joy, they pour their lives into those things, thinking that that's the plan, that that's what they were made to do. Maybe they were made to do, but you gotta make sure that what you are good at, you align it with how God created you, and that you make it part of God's plan for your life. Because God does have a plan. So I see people, in order to feel good about themselves, in order to feel better, to feel happy, they will get into sports. Nothing wrong with that. Or they'll get into the movies, or they'll get into music, or they'll get into making money, or they'll get into any number of things, decorating, video games, whatever the case might be. And all these things may be fine, but understand, these are not the things that you were created for. Amen. Amen. And you can build your life around a lot of good things, but as long as if God is not in the equation, then guess what? It's going to one day amount to nothing. And one day you're going to regret that you spend so much time and effort living for yourself and that you paid so little attention to living for God. And all I'm telling you is don't get to the place where you regret that. Make the changes that you need right now. And the first thing is discover and live out God's plan and understand what that is, right? And many believers today, what happens is that we still live with the void. Believers, mind you. We still live with the emptiness because we have gotten away from God's plan. When you get away from God's plan, all of a sudden, you're right back, maybe not back in the world like you were in your BC days before Christ, okay? But you're still pursuing things that are empty. And now, all of a sudden, yeah, you may still have a Christian title. You may still identify with Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But as long as you're living for yourself, guess what's going to happen? There's still going to be that void. There's still going to be that lack of fulfillment. But when you make God's plan your number one objective, everything else will begin to fall into its proper place. If you want your life to count for something, you have to discover and you have to accept God's plan for your life. Paul the Apostle wrote to Thessalonians and he said in verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of the heart. Our purpose is to please God. If you have that, I want you just to commit that to the recesses of the back burner of your mind. My purpose is to please God, not people. Please God, not people. So here's a question. So if I'm going to decide to discover and live out God's plan for my life, how do I do that? Well, that's the second decision you need to make. The second decision you need to make, and we kind of loosely addressed this in the beginning, is that you decided you're going to grow spiritually. You decide that, you know what, I've done all these things for the past several years of my life, and sure, maybe God has prospered me, or sure, I might have attained some of the things that I wanted, but am I any closer to God now than I was back then? Or was there a moment in my life when I sensed that God was closer to me? So all I'm saying to you is to change your objective and to change your perspective and to make sure that this year does not become just another year like all the years in the past. And this year, you and I make a commitment. We're going to grow spiritually. We're going to grow closer to God. So here's the question that goes along with that point. How is it that you let God know that you are interested in his plan for your life? See, because what we know here is that, how many of you guys know God's plan is better than my plan? Yeah, I mean, my wife read it earlier, okay? We know God's plan is better. See, we know that. We know that verbally. We make a verbal confession of that. But here's the next question is, how does God know that you really mean that? How does God know that you are really interested in discovering his plan for your life? It needs to be more than lip service, you see. It needs to be more than you just saying amen, you understand? Right? So how do you let God know that you mean business about discovering his plan and living within that plan? Well, the first thing is you have to commit to times of prayer. You have that in your outline. You're never going to discover God's plan until you discover God. Amen. You're never going to discover, okay, what God wants for you until you get to know who God is. And for many people, God is nothing more than a word. God is nothing more than a title. See, until you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, that's where it all begins. Then you're simply guessing what God may have for you. Oh, maybe he wants me to, you know, fast. Maybe he wants me to go help somebody. Maybe he wants me. And all you're doing is guessing. You're guessing. You're guessing because you understand. You begin to understand God's plan through relationship. Relationships are strengthened through communication. Husbands and wives, understand. Your relationship is never at a place where it's standing still. It's either moving forward and growing or moving back. Okay? And the one criteria that affects whether your relationship is moving forward or moving back is communication. You could be in a fight with your husband and not have talked to him for 3 weeks. He's still your husband, so you're still in that relationship. But listen, that relationship is not moving forward. So what applies in our human relationships also applies in our divine relationship. You want to understand God's plan for your life. It begins by you giving yourself to a time where you can communicate, where you can communicate with God. And here's what you're praying. God, I realize, Lord, you know more than I do. And I want you, Lord, to just help me. Help me to get to know you more. Simple prayer. Open my understanding, Lord. Open my mind. Open my heart so that I can accept and believe and understand what you have for me. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29. We read it earlier. So you pray to get closer. You pray what? You pray for God to transform your heart. Because nothing will change your heart like an encounter with the Almighty. Right? When you have an encounter with the Almighty, your soul is restored. And here's why your soul is restored. Because as you pray, we all have a basic human problem. The problem is called pride. And the problem is called selfishness. Pride and selfishness does not want to acknowledge that God has the right to rule in my life. Pride and selfishness says, I want to call my own shots. I want to be the king that's seated on the throne room of my life. I want to say, I want to have a say in what I do and what I like and what I do and who I do it with and how often. I want to have a say. But see, when you bow your knee before God in prayer, you know what you do? All of a sudden, you realize as you're in prayer, you're like, I am addressing the Almighty, the real king. I've been a phony king. And you realize I have no right sitting on that throne. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sitting on your chair. Every now and then, I would go into my office. It doesn't happen anymore. But all of a sudden, somebody is seated on my chair, the pastor's holy chair. How can you sit on the pastor's holy chair? And all of a sudden they'll see me walk in and I'll see them sitting there and I just make, and they'll say, I'm sorry, I was in your chair. Okay. And they'll get up and I'm like, it's okay. But see, that's what prayer does. What prayer does, it reminds you that there is a throne, that there is a God in heaven, that there's a God in charge and I'm not the one that's in charge, right? So it helps you. Lord, let me take my crown off. I don't know what I'm doing wearing this thing. This crown belongs to you. You're the one that has to call the shots because that's what prayer does. Prayer enthrones God and prayer dethrones you. Look at the person next to you and say, you need to be dethroned. Come on, say it like you mean it. You need to be dethroned. Yes. Right. And so prayer changes your heart, doesn't it? It changes your disposition. It changes your outlook and prayer. And so you pray for those things and you pray for God to change, your conditions. Listen, prayer can change history. And prayer has changed history. Prayer can change your destiny. You might think that you came here today because it was out of the kindness and the benevolence of your heart. No, you're here because God moved upon you, and God moved upon you in response to somebody already praying for you. You might not even know who they are, but they were praying for you. Yes. And it's through prayer that we see miracles. Through prayer, we see life change. Through prayer, we see healing. Through prayer, we see transformation. Prayer avails much when it comes from the heart and from when it comes from the mouth of a righteous man or a righteous woman, the Bible lets me know. So we pray. So let me give you a couple ideas on how you can pray. And what are we talking about? We're talking about becoming more spiritual, making a decision, okay, to grow spiritually. So maybe if you're not in the custom, say, I don't even know what prayer is conversation. If you're going before God and you're repeating a prayer, same prayer all the time, that's just repetition. That may not be a prayer. So you go and you talk to God, right? So you talk to God. You talk to God what's on your heart. Look, would you take care of my kids, Jesus? Lord, would you take care of my job? And Lord, you know I'm stressed out about this situation with my boss. And Lord, you know that I'm really a little anxious about, you know, my relationship with this teacher. And Lord, I don't know about this exam. And I don't know about school choices that I need to make. And all these things. You bring all those things before God. Now how long are you going to do that for? I'm recommending that if you are new in the Lord, or perhaps you are not new in the Lord, but you've gotten away from it, I recommend that you say, you do something that's attainable. You give God a portion of your day. How about 15 minutes? How about 15? 15 minutes, listen, that's attainable. You know why? Because God has given you, in your regular day, God has given you 1,440 minutes. Could you give God 15 minutes if God has given you 1,440 minutes? Of course you can. And so you give God you give God 15 minutes, and maybe those of you are already in custom of praying 15 minutes. Now, would you increase that a little bit more? Maybe you could increase. Maybe you don't increase, okay, the fact that you're doing it in the morning, but maybe all of a sudden you're going to take time off for lunch. Maybe you could do it more often towards different, you know, times of the day. Do you realize that we have a group? Where's Pastor Damon? Pastor Damon, praise the Lord. Okay, we're still gathering together for prayer every morning at 6:30 every morning. Every morning. Maybe you're on your way to work. Hey, I want to go spend 15 minutes of prayer, praying with the group that gathers here every day. Praise the Lord for that. You could do that, right? Maybe coming and praying before the service. You know, we've got a little room back here, like a little prayer room. It's kind of like a little multi-purpose room. Before service begins, do you know the effect that being prayed up for a service, what effect that will have on your life? Some of us are coming in, and you know it's hard to receive from the Lord because you're so hurried, and you got to get in, and you got to get out, and you got to do, and you got so many things in your mind. Listen, you're not receiving anything. So why don't you quiet your soul down? Come in, take some time aside. I'm going to pray because God has a word for me. See, instead of God has a word for, I wish God would speak to my stinking husband. I wish God would speak to my wife. I wish God would speak to my mother-in-law. Listen, all of a sudden you're like, Lord, I need you to speak to me. Yeah. And you know, when you do that, and so just think of it. I'm going to come 15 minutes early. I'm going to go to the back room, I'm going to pray, or I'm going to come right in while these musicians are practicing and they're praying and they're getting ready to do their thing. I'm going to sit in that chair and I'm going to pray for God to be glorified, for God to show up. We need our services for God to show up, don't we? And how does that come? When people are prayed up. So you pray. Here's the second thing that you do in order to get closer to God. Not only do you pray, but you commit to become a person of the Word. What do you mean by Word? The word of God is what gives us guidance for every other aspect of life and all the decisions that we need to face in life, right? So you cannot know what God expects of you purely because you feel it. Because if you go by what you feel, you'll be in trouble. You'll be carrying around lucky rabbit's foot and new age crystals and four-leaf clovers, and you'll be having a horoscope in your back pocket and a little picture of Buddha in your wallet, and you'll have all kinds of things because you feel like those things are so nice. And you think it has some kind of value. Or your Facebook, okay, if you believe, type amen and you'll get a miracle in 1 hour. Really? What's all that? Listen, that's all coming from people that are unlearned in the Word. Learn what the Word of God says. And you will not be driven by your mere feelings. Your feelings will deceive you and get you into a great heap of trouble. So you have to feed your soul. You have to feed your spirit. You have to investigate what it says so you can understand the heart, the mind, the desire of God, and the plan of God for your life. Now, it's unfortunate because the society that we live in, according to Barna Research, the society that we live in today, 83% of today's teens do not believe in absolute truth. 83% do not. In other words, they believe that truth is relevant based on whatever the circumstances are. So if the circumstances call for me to snatch your purse because I need lunch, I'm going to snatch your purse and go buy myself some lunch. 83%. Adults are not that, are not that far behind, because the average adult, 75% adults believe the same thing. There's no such thing as absolute truth. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. If you believe that, then you have nothing to stand on, because anything can go, and that is the precursor to a society filled with anarchy and chaos, right? And the book of the Bible is a book called the Book of Judges. It's described oftentimes by the people did what was right in their own eyes. Why? Because the law of God was not prevailing. The law of God was not penetrating, was not getting through to them. So the people did what was right according to their feelings. And what was the main characteristic of the people in Judges? They were in bondage. They needed deliverance, and every now and often God would send a deliverer that would deliver them. But the reason they got into bondage was because they did not heed what the Word of God said. I read recently a Facebook post. I thought enough about it, and I figured I'd use it today. This is someone I know. I don't think you guys know him. My wife and I do. I put a post there. It was the source was anonymous, and this is what the post says. He says, "I'm disgusted with this world. I cannot even trust what I eat, see, drink, hear, or breathe. Everything has been poisoned by the system." Unquote. Whoa. See, we live in this vast technology and information age. We have information at our fingertips. I can say something right now, and by you just going on your phone and typing in what you said, you could already find who the source is or not. You could find out if I'm telling you what I'm telling you. You can Google it, and you could find it in a matter of seconds if what I said is true or not. Because right down the line, you're going to see some things that verify what I said, and then you're going to find some articles that are going to be the exact opposite of what I said. So how do you know what's true? I'm telling you that we live in an age where fake news is prevalent, where real news sometimes is passed off as fake news, where news that should be news is not news, where news that shouldn't be news is mainline news. We're all confused. So how do you know what's really important? I'm telling you, you got to go back to the Word of God. It's the only thing that's trustworthy. It's the only thing you can bank on. It's the only thing you can hang your hat on and say, God has protected it through all these years so that we can have in our hands God's declaration of Himself. He protected it from sabotage and from conspiracy, so that I can know how to get to God, so that I can know the plan that God has for me. So I have to commit to being what? To being a person of the Word. Listen to what Paul said about the Word of God. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, the truth, for rebuking error, for correcting faults, for giving instruction, for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. So the Bible that you have, whether you have a physical hard copy in your hands or you have the Bible YouVersion or whatever the case might be, here's what Paul is saying. It's good to help you make decisions for every and any circumstance in your life. It will correct you when you're wrong. It will teach you what the truth is. It will give you instruction for right living. Anything you're concerned about, God's word has a response. So if I'm going to make a decision, okay, to grow spiritually, getting closer to God, I do that by prayer. And so I spend 15 minutes talking to God, and then I let him speak to me. And he speaks to me often, sometimes in my spirit, but more often than not, it's the word of God. He'll use the word of God to give you instructions. You realize that if you read 3 to 4 pages a day, you would have read the whole Bible in a year. Some of you are Christians for like 10 or 20 years, 30, 40 years, 50, 60 years, and you never read through the whole Bible. And if you just read 3 or 4 chapters, now when we do our fast, when we start our 40-day fast, we're going to encourage you to read 2 chapters a day in Luke, okay, John, and then also the book of Acts. 2 chapters a day, 3 chapters on Sunday. Okay, just to keep your spirit fed while you're getting into this. But I'm saying that because this is so critical to you growing. If you just pray and you don't read, you're going to be like a bird with one wing. If all you do is read the word and don't pray, you're going to be like a bird with another wing. You want to fly? You need both wings. Prayer and the word. And so you commit to obey God's word. Look at what it says in Psalm 119. It says, how can a young man stay pure? By reading your word and following its rules. See, not only do we want to be people that hear the word, we want to be people that obey the word, right? This is one of the most, to me, guys, listen to me. This is one of the most challenging issues facing the church. Because we want Jesus to bless us, right? We identify with Jesus as the leader of our preferred religion. But we don't want to do what Jesus wants us to do. Houston, we got a problem. Right? We want God. We want to wear our Christian hat. We want to wear my little fish behind my car. Just let's everybody know that we're Christians. But we don't want to do what God wants us to do because our life is filled with things that we want to do, and very, very little of it do we do the things that Jesus wants us to do. So as we grow, we have to say, look, there's got to be things. I don't have time to do everything. There's going to be times where I'm saying, I need to do what God wants me to do. It says in James, it says, but don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool listening to God's word but not doing it. You're just deceiving yourself. So now, here's the third thing. We're going to finish with this quickly. The third decision, decide to help your church grow. Now, I'm talking about the church in general, but specifically for us here, if this is your home church, Pure Heart, this is the church where God has planted you. So you have a mission to help this church grow. See, have you ever thought, why does God have me in this church, the biggest little church in Miami? Why did God put me here? He brought you here. Why? Because you have something to give back. You have something to pour into other people. He didn't just bring you here so that you can soak, so that you can take up resources, so that you can feel blessed and enjoy. He brought you here. Okay, enjoy. You need to have an inlet. You need to have, okay, ministry coming to you, but then you also need to have ministry going out. or else you just stagnate, right? He brought you here to serve. He brought you here, what? So that you can give something back, because your background is unique, okay? Your education is unique. Your talents and your skill level and your intellect is unique. Your personality, the context that you have, the networks that you have, whatever, the hobbies that you have, the interests that you have, all those things, okay, all those things are fused together to create a great church so that you can contribute to its growth, right? There are always more needs in the church than people are willing to meet those needs. Now, you were made to serve Christ, right? And if you were made to serve Christ, the only way you can serve Christ is by serving his church. How else? Jesus died for the church. Yeah, it's imperfect. Yeah, it's got problems. Yeah, it has issues. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you fulfilling God's plan for your life in serving. You serve him as you serve others, right? I wish I wrote this poem, but I didn't. But I'm going to share it with you anyway. How many of you guys like poems? This is called 10 Little Christians. 10 little Christians standing in line, one disliked the preacher, then there were 9. 9 little Christians stayed up very late, one overslept, and then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven, one loved the world, so then there were 7. 7 little Christians, all in the mix. One didn't like the music, so then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest, so then there were 5. 5 little Christians longed for much more, but one longed for pleasure. And then there were 4. 4 little Christians, each busy as a bee. One overdid it, so now there are 3. 3 little Christians knew not what to do, so one joined the sports club, and so now there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done. They disagree with each other. And then there was 1. But now we get the switch. Now we get the switch. 1 little Christian can't do much, it's true. But he brought his friend to church, and now there were 2. 2 excited Christians, each invited one more. That doubled their number, and now there were 4. 4 committed Christians worked early and late. They prayed for one another, and then there were 8. 8 wonderful Christians. If they double as before, in just as many Sundays, there will be 1,024. In this little jingle, there's a lesson that's true. You either belong to the builders or to the wrecking crew. Here's what it says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, I'm going to close with this. Each of you should use whatever gift he's received to make a lot of money. Oh, it's not about that. I'm sorry. Each of you should use whatever gift he's received to buy a bigger house, to buy a better car. No, each of you should use whatever gift he's received to serve one another. as you serve one another, as you do your part to grow the church of Jesus Christ, God will fill you with joy. God will fill you with fulfillment. God will fulfill you with understanding. God will enlarge your borders. God will enable that spiritual growth that you long for. He will draw close to you because now you are taking it upon yourself to do something that's important for Him. So let me give you a couple of things that maybe you can do in practical ways. Because here's the question. How are you going to get involved? Why did you join a ministry? If you're new, maybe you can't get involved right now because you're new to the church. We're just kind of checking us out. I'm checking you out. You're checking us out. And so we need for the time of checking out to pass. Right? So. Yeah, that's the way it is, right? Okay, so, how about some practical ways? Maybe you help with City Reach during the food distribution. Maybe you bring someone. Maybe you've been a long seasoned Christian, and you can take a younger Christian under your wing and say, "Let me teach you some of the things that are essential for you to succeed as a Christian, so that you don't fall away." Maybe as you look at the instrument, you feel inspired. You say, "Man, I want to pick up an instrument. I want to learn. I want to sing like Shamara. Maybe she'll help me. Maybe John will help me play the guitar." Maybe you could pick up an instrument. And all of a sudden, instead of having a 5-piece band, we got a 7-piece band. We got a 10-piece band. We got a killer band. That people come in and like, "Whoa, those guys are amazing." See, what am I telling you? What I'm telling you is that you have gifts and you have talents. Put those gifts and talents to use to benefit the kingdom of God, and you will never, ever regret it, right? So you try, maybe somebody that needs a ride to church, they're on your way. Maybe you could just have to go out of your way a half a mile. Big deal. You're blessing their life. You don't know what you're doing in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'll never forget. I'm looking back there at Mariella, how she always tells us the story of when she was young, there was a bus driver that would come and pick her and her sister up and take them to Sunday school. That impacted her life forever. Little things that we don't understand or even figure it out, they will have far-reaching impact for years to come. Maybe you help with the landscape. Maybe you help raise funds for whatever different projects. The thing is, do something. Don't just be a bench warmer. Do something for the benefit of the kingdom to make this a church that's much better than what it is right now. So this year, instead of just thinking, "Man, I want to do these resolutions. I want to do all..." Listen, make decisions that are going to carry you forward into the future and into eternity. Things that are going to bless God. Bring God into your decision-making this year. Make a decision to grow. Make a decision to help your church grow. Make a decision to discover what God's plan is and live out that plan. You will never, ever regret that. Let me pray with you guys. Let me ask you to stand up where you are right now. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment with me. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you're here today, and you really have no idea what God's plan for your life is. Let me tell you, it begins and it ends with Jesus Christ. And it begins with you beginning a relationship with Him. So if you haven't done that already, that's the very first order of business for you. Open your heart. Open your mind. Embrace God's plan through Jesus. And his main plan for us is that we accept what He did for us, which is become our substitute, pay the price for our sins, so that we can have the promise of an eternity in heaven with Him, in a nutshell. So if you've never done that today, maybe you need to do that. I'm going to ask you to do something for me that maybe you've not done. I'm going to ask you to meet me in the front. If you are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, would you meet me right here? I'm going to lead you just in a simple prayer. It won't take long. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get to know God's plan for your life is with this very first step. So if you would come forward, that would be such a blessing, not only to us, but to you. Because you're going to open up a brand new chapter in your life. Thank you, Lord. The rest of us, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, let me just ask you right now, this is between you and the Lord. Would you make some decisions this year that have real spiritual value? Would you make a decision to discover God's plan? Make a decision to grow spiritually? Make a decision to grow your church? Maybe God is speaking to you about all three of those, or maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe you're involved in some of those other areas already. You're doing some things, but maybe one of them resonates with you more than the other. Would you right now, just where you are, just make an altar time before God and say, Lord, I'm making a decision right now to do this. I'm making a decision, Lord, to discover your plan again. Some of you, as I look out, some of you have lost your bearings. You've lost your perspective. You knew what it was like to serve God. You knew what it was like to fulfill God's purpose. And time and work and family and other concerns have kind of little by little pulled you away. Listen, friend, believer, brother, sister, would you come back? Would you renew your commitment to Him? And say, Lord, I want to start again. 2017, a year of new beginnings. I want to begin again. Forget about everything in the past. I want a fresh start. See, God can do that for you. But you need to reach out to Him and say, Lord, I make that decision right now. So I'm going to ask you right now, just raise your hands toward heaven in an act of surrender. Say, Lord, we surrender our lives to you. Lord, help us with our decisions. We do not want to be just nominal Christians that wear a Christian hat. But Lord, we want to be part of the force that you have on this world to bring about real change and to make a real difference in people's lives. So restore us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Accept our commitment to you, Lord, and help the commitment that we make today not be short-lived, not to be, Lord, something that we emotionally respond to, but may it be deep and profound, may it be real, and may it be lasting. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.